is hour number two of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. At 1:45, we tell you about a really cool event happening this Sunday, helping pets and their owners with a low-cost vet clinic. At 1:30, it's an early edition of Where We At in Society, led by Zay. In a mere minutes, it is our weekly chat with the great Paul Wadlington of IT on 3 and EGAT. I'm Trey Elling. Behind the glass today, it is Isaiah Collier, and sitting across from me, Chad Hastings.
Yes, indeed. Congrats to you Astros fans. Almost there. Another whipping of the Red Sox last night. 9-1. Their one went away from the World Series. So are the Braves. The Braves had a 9-2 win against the Dodgers. No suspense last night by the end of those games. Atlanta today could end up as the first team in the World Series. They'll be on TBS tonight. And you got that Denver-Cleveland game in the NFL, where hopefully they'll have enough healthy players to go. That could end up as a Keenum versus Drew Locke matchup if Bridgewater's foot doesn't enable him to go. So I'm warning you now if you tune in.
That is a trash can fire of a football game, Chad. And speaking of, I am about to start lighting our trash cans on fire in this building. It is so freaking cold in this building.
It is chilly today.
I can't handle it. Everybody feels it now, too.
I know.
It is icebox level. It used to be confined to a couple of recording studios. It's all throughout the hallways now.
Yep.
These are inhumane working conditions, and I demand a change. Otherwise, I'm going to start lighting trash cans on fire.
I think you should. I think we should have a trash can lighting ceremony every show if it stays this cold. It is chilly today. All right, let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina hotline. We do it every Thursday about this time. He is the one and only Paul Wadlington. Some know him as Scipio Tex from Inside Texas on 3.com and the EGAT podcast with our man Kevin Dunn. Check it out wherever you get your podcasts. Also, Trey, we've got a sponsor.
That's right. You also know him from the Wadlington and Winslow mortgage team. Stay tuned. After our interview today, I'm going to tell you a little bit about my personal experience of talking with Paul and Gabe about potentially refinancing, or if not, perhaps gaining a little bit of money on the front side, money that has been gained based on the increase in our home value over the last 5 years. So stay tuned for that. In the meantime, though, we are going to talk some Longhorn football with Paul. What's up, Paul? How you doing this week?
I'm good, and you two sound like every woman I've ever dated complaining about the indoor ambient temperature.
I'm telling you, I know what you're saying, and normally I would agree, but this place is freaky, man. It's not just about, you know, old women in blankets. Like, there are young people whose age starts with a 2, Paul, that are walking around here freezing today.
Well, I hope both of you tighten up your shawls and let's talk a little college football.
Extreme.
Hey, before we do that, I do have to say, Trey and Chad, you may have some notion of this. You guys know how I revile the evil sport of baseball, but
yes. Mm-hmm.
I do have a financial interest in these playoffs, and in that I'm in with a friend on some Astros playoff tickets that we're hawking and trying to make some money on, and we badly need the Dodgers to rally because the Atlanta Braves fans are apparently, there's been a great economic resurgence in Atlanta, but no one has told the Braves fans because these people are skinflints and they don't travel.
Oh, I see. You're rooting hard for Astros Dodgers. Correct.
We want Astros Dodgers for purely mercenary, mercantile, monetary purposes. The Braves fans are apparently a bunch of pores, or they are just casual baseball fans, which is the best way to be a baseball fan.
How are Red Sox fans?
Red Sox fans will pay to see their team, and they'll usually pay to see their team break their heart, which makes it even better.
Yeah, that's always a good that's always good. A little drama in the pocketbook.
Yeah, speaking of heartbreak, Paul, the Texas Longhorn football team broke hands hearts for the second straight game and letting a big lead fade away in the fourth quarter. This time against an Oklahoma State team that is much less talented versus what the Oklahoma Sooners brought to the table. What was most discouraging for you about watching UT melt down last Saturday?
I would say Jaylen Warren rushing for 110 yards in the fourth quarter. That was slightly a blow to the morale. And you know, frankly, the defense played acceptable to good football for three quarters. And really, it was the offense that completely fell apart and went off the rails. And you had six consecutive drives to end the game that were basically a three and out, or they went out on downs. So, and then, of course, you had So I was actually at the game. I flew in and went to the game and flew back out. And basically, I just when Casey Thompson threw that pick six in the second quarter with the Texas, you know, football team with the opportunity to go up, you know, 20-3, and instead it's 17-10. It's a 10-point swing there, and it just deflated the entire stadium.
Yeah, it was such a massive play. We were talking about that earlier, Paul. I don't know if you could get much more of a swing there, considering you're in the red zone area, guaranteed points at that moment, and then it goes 80-something yards the other way for a score. That obviously was a huge moment, turns the whole game, and then they end up in another one of these one-score kind of games. So for you, as not only a fan of this team, but somebody that's covering them and trying to break it all down, do you take solace in the idea that it's just happening at the end? Do you take some solace in the idea that there was tackling at one point, there was blocking at one point, it just seems to go away?
No, I take no solace in that. I don't think it's a question of, oh, we're just there. I think there's a lot of different factors going on, but you know, it kind of makes me question some aspects of strength and conditioning for the team. And then also, I just think that, you know, there's some adjustments going on. It's not that Texas is getting out-coached. I don't think that's what's happening. I think that Texas starts off the game with a pretty good game plan. And then as the other team adjusts to it, and, you know, look, say what you will about Mike Gundy, and sometimes he's an object of fun and people joke about him and there's some things about him that are amusing. He's a pretty good football coach. And he is time-proven at Oklahoma State. And if you look at that Oklahoma State team objectively, they really shouldn't be 6-0. They're not super talented. And they were protecting their quarterback, and they don't have a great offensive line. And, you know, their defense certainly plays well together, and they certainly play as a team, which is very important. They're not overloaded with NFL draft picks. I can assure you of that.
Yeah, Mike Gundy understands his team's limitations. This goes back a couple years now. He realizes Spencer Sanders is not a game breaker as a thrower, so oftentimes you'll see him running it on third and long situations to try and make for a more manageable either fourth and short or field goal for his team. He realizes he's going to be playing in more close games, and he has adjusted accordingly. You know, you just mentioned the strength and conditioning stuff, and inevitably it turns into a bit of a cycle for a team that can't figure out how to win games consistently against good competition. It's the coaches, it's the players, it's the strength and conditioning program, but it is really starting to feel to me that this team is getting out-physicaled far too often against decent competition. Is that how you're seeing it right now as well?
Yeah, I see it that way. I just see too many guys losing at the point of attack. You know, I mentioned this on the Everyone Gets a Trophy podcast with Kevin Dunn, and there was a play where they ran a speed option to the right sometime in the third quarter. And Spencer Sanders, who's, you know, a decent-sized guy, he's, you know, he's a college quarterback. He's 205, 210 pounds. He pitches it to Jaylen Warren, and then he heads up field as a blocker. And he drops a shoulder on Ovi Agofu out in the flat and drops him. And when you see something like that, it's just one play. There's a lot that happens on a football field, right? But you kind of go, that's interesting. Maybe our edge guy, our outside linebacker, shouldn't be getting erased by the other team's quarterback.
That's probably good football math, I would say.
Yeah, it's not like he was KJ Jefferson, like Paul just said.
Yeah,
he's average size for a college quarterback.
I just remember Peter Gardere dropping a shoulder on the Wrecking Crew outside linebackers in their prime. I don't remember John Roper getting leveled by a 195-pound quarterback, right?
No, I don't believe that happened. That's a great point. Talking with Paul Wadlington, InsideTexasOn3.com, EGAT podcast, Texas sitting at 4-3. 2-2 in conference play right now. So, Paul, I have become fascinated by this one-score game thing that's going on at Texas. They threw the stat up during the game. I've been looking up these stats for about a year or so. And since 2017, they've been in 29 of these games. Now, all but three of them are Tom Herman, so clearly that's a big part of it. But Steve Sarkisian as a head coach has now been in 30 of those games. Give me a quick football theory idea as to how a coach just kind of draws in those one-score games. What is it?
Well, I think that's a classic Vegas stat, which is a retrospective stat, right? Which is, if you look retrospectively at anything, you can find interesting patterns. They may not necessarily mean anything in and of themselves, but I think it probably suggests to me that they've mostly been coaching mediocre football teams or coaching mediocre And I'm not sure where the line is.
Right.
Ultimately, I don't think that's a hugely helpful stat. I don't think it's a strategy. Although with Herman at times it felt like it was, but you know, I don't think the stat has an intrinsic meaning to it. I really don't. You know, I think it's one of those Vegas stats where when you're a gambler, you look back and they go, oh, this team, you know, they're 0-7 on Thursday nights when they're playing in temperatures above 71 degrees. And it's like, well, maybe it's because they had a terrible quarterback during that time period.
Right.
Speaking of quarterback play, Casey Thompson has not been great two of the last three games. Just how concerned are you with the position right now, and how long a leash should Steve Sarkisian have with Casey Thompson going forward?
Well, apparently he's got a leash, because when he got hit hard by Malcolm Rodriguez, and frankly, I'm going to sound like an old school here and not interested in player safety, but to me, both that hit and the Ray Thornton hit on the other end were both just football hits.
Yes.
You sort of complete the play and you tackle the quarterback. So if you're going to throw a flag on Ray Thornton on one end, you got to throw it on the other. I would say don't throw it on either. Mm-hmm. In any event, Casey Thompson got shaken up. He went off the field. They put in Hudson Card to hand off. Boy, if Steve Sarkisian was a little worried about Casey in that game, that was his cover. That was his opportunity to give Hudson Card a series and see if Hudson had rallied a little bit from that Arkansas first half. And unfortunately, it was not to be. You know, he trotted him off and Casey came back out and frankly wasn't effective, and then ended the game, of course, throwing another interception. So, yeah, if you wanted to assess what the leash was, we had that opportunity in that game and Steve Sarkisian decided not to take advantage of it and try another hand there. He sort of had some cover there with the injury.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, the timing of that was weird, too, to me, Paul, and it was kind of one of these examples of maybe a little bit of clock management, a little bit of situational management could have been helpful. With that clock counting down there, and I believe they did reset the play clock, why not wait till the beginning of the fourth quarter to let Casey Thompson run that play? Take a breath, take a moment, and run the play on the other side of the quarter.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting. Sometimes you see coaches struggle with the whole quarter thing, and you know, you either want to get your play in right before the quarter ends if you're trying to catch up, or you'll see teams with a lead all the time rush to snap the ball before the quarter, and it's like, hey, you know, the clock is your friend at this point. But yeah, I think the greater point is if you're trying to assess where Sark is at the quarterback position, it looks like he's sticking with Casey Thompson until, you know, something even more egregious or a larger pattern emerges. And, you know, unfortunately, Casey didn't play very well against TCU, and he didn't play very well, particularly late, against old Oklahoma State. He was terrific against OU. So I'm not sure what you're supposed to tease out there is what's signal and what's noise. And I guess Texas fans are going to find out when they play Baylor.
Well, a big part of the problem is him not having that reliable second receiver. And so now teams can focus more on Xavier Worthy, which Oklahoma State wisely did, and dare any of those other guys to beat you. And unfortunately, based on what we've seen out of Marcus Washington, Joshua Moore, and some of the other dudes in that receiving core, it's a pretty good bet that Mike Gundy and other coaches are going to make. I read in the insider notes at Inside Texas and On Three last night that the plan, and I'm saying that while rolling my eyes, is to get the tight ends a little bit more involved in the passing offense. Do you have any faith in that happening starting with Baylor in a week and a half?
Well, no, I don't have a lot of faith in that. But, you know, what's interesting is, you know, Cade Brewer has actually been, he's done his best blocking job in his career this year. He's not a devastating blocker or anything like that, but he's been a very willing blocker. And unfortunately, because of the struggles in protection, they've had to keep him in quite a bit. They've had to use him more as a chess piece in the running game. And the guy that, frankly, has been a little bit of a disappointment is Jared Wiley.
Yeah.
You really would like to see more physicality from him. You'd like to see better blocking. There's the second game in a row he's been in the open field and Bijan's behind him and he's not managed to touch a defender, and somehow he gets in Bijan's way and tangles him up and gets him tackled. So, yeah, you'd like to see Jared either present himself as a viable option, either as a pass catcher or an enthusiastic run blocker, because Texas really needs some help on the edge just trying to win out there. Because, I mean, God bless. If you can give Bijan Robinson a little bit of space, that dude is very, very special. He's going to maximize the run.
Yeah, and Paul, and that would bring me to the offensive line. Steve Sarkisian made it clear this week to his fans that it's going to be some shuffling from now till the end of the year. Now, you could look at that as panic, or you could look at that as, well, he's trying to find progress. He's not going to just stand pat and stay with bad combos. Did you see something against Oklahoma State, a combo you liked, a guy you liked at another position that gives you some hope moving forward, obviously along with what Coach Flood is going to try to do?
So I do think it's good that they're shuffling. You don't want to stand pat, and because when things aren't operating at a high level of efficiency, you do have to seek different combinations. You do have to look for different solutions. What's been kind of interesting, or more less interesting but more alarming, is the lack of individual progress at some of the more skilled parts of the offensive line, specifically both tackle positions. You know, you just Kerstetter is very solid. But Christian Jones, you know, a lot of people, really, there was an NFL draft buzz about the guy just because of his physical traits and how he looks. And, you know, he's a fit 320-pound guy playing tackle. And if you can give him some technical acumen, he could be a lockdown tackle, the kind of guy that the NFL starved for. And, boy, if anything, he's sort of regressed. And I don't know what's going on in terms of teaching him technique or if he's just not confident, but it just doesn't look good out there. And so now they're going to try to alternate him with Andre Carrick. And Andre is a better run blocker than pass blocker. So what you gain in one, you sort of lose in the other. And, you know, they're just looking for the best possible combination. And, you know, one thing that I do think maybe is not as appreciated is that there's not a lot of blocking help outside of that offensive line. And I mean at the wide receiver position, other than Marcus Washington, who is a willing blocker. You know, Xavier Worthy's a skinny freshman. He's not going to move anyone. Joshua Moore, you know, not exactly a physically imposing receiver either. And then, you know, Jared Wiley, the other tight end, you're not getting plus blocking out of him. So, you know, people sometimes don't realize the extent to which running plays go from a 5-yard gain to a 50-yard gain, really because of the blocking of some of those exterior players, and you know that needs to improve as well for Texas to maximize.
That is Paul Wadlington, Scipio Tex himself. He joins us every Thursday about this time. Check out InsideTexas.com, On3.com, EGAT podcast every week with Kevin Dunn. Grab it wherever you get your podcasts, and stay tuned. Trey's going to tell you more about Wadlington and Winslow. Paul, have a great week. Rest up, and we'll talk Baylor next week.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Paul.
Stay warm.
All right, Trey, let them know.
Our weekly Talking Texas Football Chat with Paul is brought to you by the Wadlington and Winslow Mortgage Team. We are in the middle of an unprecedented low interest rate environment right now, and the Wadlington and Winslow Mortgage Team will help you capitalize on that, whether you're looking to purchase your dream home or you want to refinance your current home. As someone who purchased a home 5 years ago, I discussed my options with Gabe and Paul. We talked about how the fact that my wife and I refinanced just about a year ago, and they agreed that my family's rate is still solid, not worth refinancing necessarily. But we also talked about how much our home value has gone up in 5 years. It has literally doubled in estimated value. They explained how if we needed to, we could actually work a deal right now that would give us access to some of that extra money for something like home improvements, tuition, or another expense to improve our quality of life now. And they'd be happy to have that conversation with you as well. Unlike banks who are working with a specific interest rate, Wadlington and Winslow have access to the entire lending market. That's hundreds of lenders to choose from to find you that perfect deal. And they'll know that perfect deal because Gabe and Paul get to know every one of their clients. They learn about you, your family, your mortgage and financial situations, as well as your goals for each. From there, they find that ideal rate. And unlike the bank who's only there from 9 to 5 Monday through Friday, you can get in touch with Wadlington and Winslow 24/7. Gabe and Paul are Texas exes, and Gabe is a real estate attorney with decades in the business. That's why the Wadlington Winslow Mortgage Team has a 98.9% closing success rate, and they're going to close you on time because Paul and Gabe are men of their word. They also follow up with past customers to find them even better deals at no extra cost. So how do you get in touch with the Wadlington Winslow Mortgage Team? You can give them a call at 832-557-1095. That's 832-557-1095, or reach out at mortgagesbygabe.com. That's mortgagesbygabe.com, the Wadlington and Winslow Mortgage Team.
Gabe Winslow Mortgage Broker, NMLS number 1613381. C2 Financial, NMLS number 135622.
All right, we got a special guest coming in studio a little later in the hour, so we're going to rearrange some things. Where are we at in society? It's coming up next with Isaiah Collier. Sarah Wolf's coming in to tell you about Emancipate, the event going on this weekend. Trey's going to be a part of that. We'll get you the details. And at 2:05, Isaiah will try to help us with the Supreme picks, although last week we went 2-3 because in some cases we didn't listen to each other the right ways and we mixed up the NFL game. It was a mess. We got to pick some more games. We'll do that coming up. This is The Horn.
Shirts and Skins.
Here I am, R-A-W, a terrorist. Here to bring trouble to phony and seize. I move on and seize. I just conquer and solve another rapper with ease. Cause I'm at my apex and others are below. Nothing but a milliliter. I'm a kilo.
Isaiah Collier producing.
Run, so don't try to step to me, cause I ain't the one. I believe rappers just
Trey, you got a guess?
And they know it, so I don't see why you all try to front.
Rob Bass.
When you know that I smoke you up like a blunt.
Isaiah?
Like Gucci, nope. Roar
like you don't know who this is either?
Dude, there's only one thing in my head and I know it's wrong. Because it's not him, I don't think. No, who is it?
Chuck D?
Nope, Big Daddy Kane.
Ah, Big Daddy Kane.
Okay.
I can see it now. I can see the glasses now. Now I can see it. Now. He kind of rocked the Randy Macho Man Savage glasses back then.
Yeah, he had different looks.
Had different things? Yeah.
Silk robes.
Where does he fit into the whole picture for you?
What, like?
Just history of the genre. How much respect does Big Daddy Kane get?
He's like what Clyde Drexler is in the NBA history. Ooh. Like, you know he's in the Hall of Fame. You know he's good, but you wouldn't bring him up if you were going to name the best rappers. You wouldn't bring up Clyde Drexler. You're going to name the greatest basketball players, but you know he's in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, my God. I'm not going to tell you what to do, but if you can work that into the new basketball show, I don't know how you do it, but every once in a while, throw me out a comparison like that. That's fascinating there.
We're going to have mad comparisons, analogies, similes, metaphors. The right call is going to be right.
I guarantee you, as a basketball and music fan of that, especially of that genre, if Kevin Dunn's listening right now, he might have just fainted. Because I think that's one of the best analogies I've ever heard. That's good stuff.
You make sure that with the basketball show, you're committing at least a couple minutes every show to Adele, please. My goodness.
How good did she look sitting courtside?
Why in the world was everybody trying to skinny shame her 6 to 9 months ago? She looks great now.
She does look great. I didn't know she was dating, what's his name, Rich Paul?
Rich Paul.
My God.
It's been going on for a minute.
What's the combined worth of that couple?
Yeah, she knew what she was doing.
Damn.
She knew what she was doing.
So did he. I mean, my God. Who's worth more? Right now.
Man.
If we added it all up, every receipt, both of those are two monsters that just got together.
You think that suit was leather or pleather?
His or hers?
Hers. She was wearing all pleather or leather.
I'm going to guess it was real.
Okay.
It's her, so sometimes Adele has issues with sensitivity, which I like about her. So
she is wonderfully vulgar.
Yeah, so I'm going to say she did not worry about that detail. Mm. I'm going to say it's real leather. I'm just guessing. Yeah, she was looking good sitting courtside at the Lakers game, I believe that was, right? That was the Golden State Lakers game that she was chilling at the other day. All right, Sarah Wolf's coming in studio a little later to tell us about this Emancipate event. Trey's going to be a part of it as well. So we'll rearrange and go where we at in society right here. Coach
Where
Gundy,
are we at in society today?
There he is. He's got a big game this weekend.
Sponsored by Student Loan Payment Lawn Care. Get yourself on the schedule at slplawncare.com. What do you have for us today, Zay?
All right, fellas, how petty are you willing to go to actually sue something? Like, if you could, if you had the means to say, you know what, I hate this so much. It might be minor to other people, but to me, it's so extreme, I gotta sue.
You're saying if you like hated a yogurt company so much, you'd put a fake bug in the yogurt to try to sue them.
See, you see where I'm going with this.
Okay, that kind of thing, that's what you're talking about?
Yep.
Like that evil, sick woman years ago that tried to tried to take Wendy's down with the chili lie.
That yeah, woman, the finger in the in the chili?
Started lying about the chili. Couldn't
believe
it.
I don't get the chili, but come on. I love Wendy's.
What was the lie?
The lie was they found a finger in the chili.
Well, was there a finger in the chili? Was this a Big Lebowski deal where somebody actually had to cut off their own finger and fake it?
It was fake. It was fake. The whole thing was fake.
It was a prosthetic?
I think so, yeah. Mm. Yeah, it was terrible. It was an awful thing. So I don't know. I don't think I could live with myself. I don't think I hate any product or company enough to go that far. Trey, do you have anything like that? Or you'd really go after somebody and try to sue and take them down?
No, I can be petty in other ways. I can be spiteful in other ways. I'm not usually going to get lawyers involved if possible, because that just costs everybody money, me included.
All right, so you got one. You got a little Ving Rhames with the roach?
Well, a lady in New York is selling Kellogg's Pop-Tarts because there aren't enough strawberries in the strawberry frosted whole grain Pop-Tart.
She's suing Pop-Tarts because there's not enough strawberry
and
jelly or jam or whatever that substance is?
Yes.
Wow.
There's pears and other fruit, but not enough strawberries.
Huh.
She is saying this is BS. She's tired of it.
Wow.
She can't enjoy her Pop-Tart. She's trying to sue Kellogg for $5 million.
What she's saying is that the pastry to fruit ratio with the strawberry is not acceptable. Is she saying it's okay on other flavors?
Yeah, it's not about other flavors. That's the thing. It's just about the strawberry Pop-Tart.
Okay, so there could be a pear lover out there that thinks the pear-flavored, they have pear-flavored Pop-Tarts, a grape or whatever, they're a separate deal. She's a strawberry freak, and she says there's not enough strawberry.
Yes.
One of my biggest gripes with Pop-Tarts, as a fat kid, by the way, somebody willing to consume a lot of bad for me stuff,
yeah,
is that it was way too bready. They needed more of that filling, so I kind of understand where she's coming from here.
Okay, that part of it I get, but there's nothing legally that Pop-Tarts has ever said that you could attack, right? Like, Pop-Tarts is saying it's a strawberry Pop-Tart. We're saying there'll be strawberry involved. We're not stating that it has to be an amount that makes you happy, ma'am. We're just saying it's strawberry flavored. Like, what is she? I don't understand the lawsuit.
She is claiming that Pop-Tarts gives customers the impression the fruit filling contains a greater relative and absolute amount of strawberries than it does. It's very simple. Contains 2% or less of strawberry, which was a section of 2% or less of this, and strawberry falls into that category, look, versus being one of the primary ingredients.
Look, the only thing I can think of that just popped into my head is if I could go after all the chip companies and make them give me a full bag of chips instead of that half bag of air, I'd do it. But there's nothing on the packaging that says, we guarantee you there's no air. That's not what they do. Pop-Tarts doesn't have anything on there that says, we guarantee 50% fruit. Then she'd have an argument. She doesn't.
So you know on the ingredient list how it will, I think they're required to give like what's the most of an ingredient all the way down to the least. It's why the less than 2% appears at the end of a lot of ingredient lists.
Uh-huh.
Appearing ahead of strawberry on the Pop-Tarts frosted strawberry ingredient list.
Yes.
Is Red 40.
Boom.
A synthetic food coloring made from petroleum. Red 40 makes the strawberry pear apple combination look bright red, like it is only strawberries or has more strawberries than it actually does, according to this lawsuit.
Ooh, I can get on some Red 40 now. Don't leave me alone with Red 40 for a Saturday afternoon.
I bet you can.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds like it comes in the brown paper bag.
Yeah, really. Red 40. Exactly. That dude drank 3 Red 40s one day. And then went to church. Yeah.
This is interesting. Boy, Pop-Tarts.
Come on, man.
You're really that hard up about Pop-Tarts. You may want to reconsider your dietary choices.
Plus, I'm willing to bet that since Pop-Tarts really hit big, there are other companies that have gotten more fruit content, different fruit contents, different levels of things. We're talking about Pop-Tarts here. I don't understand this. We're talking about Pop-Tarts.
Thanks, Allen Iverson.
I'm the guy that did. Did I call Skittles multiple times and ask him about the taking the lime out, putting the green apple in? I did, but I wouldn't have gone after him with a lawsuit suing them for the whole original bag thing.
And you finally got your way, too.
I finally got my way. I didn't do it. And it's after 8 years, for no reason that they've explained, they're just switching it back, which is weird, but. Whatever.
So how often do each of you eat Pop-Tarts? We know I never eat Pop-Tarts. I mean, it has literally been since childhood since I've tried one.
The last Pop-Tart I had was during Snowvin. I packed a couple.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
What flavor?
Blueberry.
Blueberry?
Yeah.
I've eaten plenty of junk food my whole life, so please don't think I'm trying to like be uppity here. My whole life, I might have had 5 Pop-Tarts, like ever.
Wow.
And that's, they come 2 in a package, right?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe 5 my whole life. It just never was a thing that I was around. My mom wasn't buying those. If I was doing something in a toaster, it was toast. It was
toast with some jelly on top.
Toast with jelly, toast with peanut butter, toast with something else. But yeah, no, she never bought us Pop-Tarts. And then I never actively started buying them. My wife's not a Pop-Tart person. And yeah, never really gotten into them. I mean, the ones I've had, they're pretty good, but they're not good enough to make me go buy more.
They're not even good. The ratio is off. The breading to whatever that substance in the middle ratio, it needs to be greater. Those need to taste less dry when you're eating them.
And now that I'm trying to maintain a little weight loss over here, there's no way Pop-Tarts make sense because of what you just said. It's so bready and preserved and oh, my God. And I know me, too. If you got me a flavor I really liked, the one I remember was a cinnamon, like a brown sugar cinnamon kind of flavor.
Okay.
Dude, if I just didn't care, I could probably eat 5 Pop-Tarts in a day and not even think about it.
Yeah, see, if you're going I don't care route and you're consuming something like that, there are like literally 30 items that I would go ahead of Pop-Tarts.
Oh, yeah, I'd put like
Little Debbie's.
Oreos way ahead. Can I just go Oreos?
Sure.
Yeah, okay. That's what I do. That's
nearly an infinite list for me. That's how little I think of Pop-Tarts. Pop-Tarts are down there with Fig Newtons for me.
Oh, yeah, I don't like those either. I'm with you there. If I was going to go super cheat today, I'd go equal parts Oreos and nacho cheese Doritos. That's what I would do. Half and half. Nacho cheese Doritos would be the meal. Oreos would be the dessert. Nap and repeat. That's what I would do. If I was just going to cheat and cheat hard.
Yeah, we're on a pretty hard pizza than ice cream run right now on the weekends.
It's a good combo.
It's tough to break away from, too, once you're used to it.
Oh, and it's so good. When your body gets used to pizza and ice cream, oh, man.
And by used to, you mean gets fatter?
It does not let you get out of it easily. You got to be real careful when you combine those two things, kids. All right, coming up next, Sarah Wolf joins us in studio to tell you about Emancipet, the event that is coming up to try to help people and their pets make things a little more affordable. She'll explain coming up. Then we get you our Supreme Picks coming up at 2:05. What the heck are we going to do with that Clemson-Pitt game? We got to figure it out on the horn.
Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey.
Wow. Isaiah Collier producing today. It's been very... A little bit closer. It's been very funky. Not very funky. It's been funky. It's been lightly funky. You know what it feels like you're doing? It feels like you are working stuff out for the wedding. It feels like you're trying some stuff out for wedding dance time. Is that what you're doing?
I don't know if we would say that, but a lot of these songs I would play at my wedding.
It could work. It could work. Who is this?
This is Charo.
Charo?
Yeah, you remember? You know Charo?
Wait a minute.
Spicy Latina.
Like Charo Charo?
Yeah, Charo.
Wait, she actually had songs? I mean, I don't mean to say that to be insulting. I just remember her on game shows and stuff.
Yeah, she had shows.
Charo was like a legit performer.
I don't know if she had hits.
Oh, there she is. Okay.
She's no Cher.
So this is Charo. Like, it's not somebody featuring Charo. This is her deal.
Yes.
All right. But you really do have a vast musical collection, don't you? Did you just play Charo?
I'm versatile.
Trey and I are music snobs from way back. We played a lot of weird stuff, and you just played Charo. Well done. Well done. Isaiah Collier producing. He just played Charo on the show. And I'm not sure what else we can say about that. I do know we can talk about the Supreme Picks coming up at 2:05. That is happening. Also, all three of us are dog owners, dog lovers, pet lovers, and one of our favorites has come into the studio to let us know a little bit more about an event coming up. It is the one and only Sarah Wolf. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are y'all doing?
Doing very well. Last time we saw you, we were probably talking, what were we talking about the last time?
Hot Sauce
Fest.
Yeah.
I was going to say we were Hot
Sauce Fest, and then it was the food issue of the Chronicle
yes.
before that.
So before we get to the pets, did you survive Hot Sauce Fest?
I did. It was pretty brutal, but we had a great time. We raised a lot for the Central Texas Food Bank and saw some amazing bands, so it was a really good time.
Very cool. Are involved in helping out nonprofits that are really trying to do good throughout this community all over the place, not just in the food world, but also the animal world. So we have another really cool event coming up this Sunday that I had the pleasure of getting to MC. Before we talk about the event itself, let's talk about the organization. What exactly is EmancipeT?
Yes, so EmancipeT is a nonprofit organization that runs veterinary clinics. So they are on a mission to make vet care affordable and accessible to everyone. They have really low-cost services. They don't turn anyone away because they think everyone should have the love of a pet. And so they're here to provide spay-neuter services, vaccines, checkups, everything you need to keep your dog and cat healthy. And they have several clinic locations throughout Austin, as well as a mobile clinic that visits surrounding Central Texas cities like Lago Vista and Lockhart, Dripping Springs, all those areas.
That is incredibly important, and that leads us to the event this Sunday at Krieg Fields, a place that I'm familiar with because I play volleyball there from time to time, Chad. Lots of softball going mm-hmm. on there as well.
Oh, yeah.
This event is from 11 to 1. What exactly can people expect if they come out to Krieg Fields from 11 to 1 on Sunday?
So this Sunday, their event is called Pulling for Pets. You may be familiar with like a fire truck pull where teams come together and pull a big fire truck. It's like that, only it's the EmancipeT Mobile Clinic. This clinic weighs 22,000 pounds. We have teams of around 8 to 10 people coming out to compete. They're dressed up in Halloween costumes. They're going to pull the clinic. We have trophies for the top team times and the fastest teams, the teams that raise the most money. We're going to have lots of fun out there. And then afterwards, we're going to a new bar called Ani's Day and Night in East Austin where we will have just a fun dog party. We have a dog costume contest, dog tarot card readings. We're going to have drink specials. It'll be a great time.
Dog costume, Chad. You all on board with that?
Dog costumes and tarot card readings or reading the dog's fortune?
Yeah, I actually do that myself. And so
That's you doing that?
I have many talents.
Wow.
And these are cards. I don't do people. I don't do people readings. This is just for dogs. I have special cards and I let you know what your dog's up to. Maybe get some good luck. It's really fun and quirky. I do my part to keep Austin weird and... Yeah.
Now, the humans are going to be dressed up in Halloween costumes, too?
Yeah, absolutely.
Are you dressing up?
Yeah, I have a couple costumes. I'm going to have one for the pull at Krieg Fields, and then I'll have another one for, you know, my dog tarot get up at the bar afterwards.
All right, so how long have you been a registered dog tarot card reader?
You know, this is fairly new. It's been a couple years now, but it's really picked up once events have started, y'all. I actually have three events coming up in the next week through Halloween. So
wow. Okay.
I'm in high demand.
Three events. You're getting rented out now to read doggy fortunes.
Yeah,
okay.
And they all help raise money for different pet nonprofits. I always give back. So.
Cool.
Okay, so as a dog lover, I got to know, give me a breed or two that you feel is particularly mystical when it comes to tarot card readings. What are the breeds that you can get the best readings off of?
You know, it's actually the rescue mutts. I will say that because they have the most mystery. We don't always know, you know, where they come from or what they've been through. But like I tell people, you know, dogs don't hold on to the past. They live in the moment and in the present. And so we just take that piece of advice from them and see what's in store next.
They are loyal to the next hand that feeds them. Now, because it is an event here in Austin, there's usually live music to go along with everything else happening. Is there some live music this Sunday?
Yeah, we're going to have DJ Boyfriend ATX. He will be out spinning at the competition portion and at the party afterwards. So he'll be playing some good tunes. And I'm actually trying to think of songs right now that, you know, the teams can pull to, like Eye of the Tiger. And I'm kind of getting my playlist together. I need some ideas for competitive songs to get people hyped up.
Anything from a Rocky montage, I think, would be a good idea. Also, I'm seeing Taco Deli. Speaking of hot sauce, Taco Deli's going to be there?
Yes, mm-hmm. Taco Deli has generously provided us with a ton of tacos. So if people come out that morning, we're going to have tacos. Terralingua Coffee, it's a new canned coffee, is going to be out there. So we'll have lots of goodies for folks. We'll have Tito's is going to be out there with their dog kissing booth. That's super cute. And we'll just have lots of fun stuff. We're going to have treats for dogs and kids, of course, too, if they come out.
So what exactly is my responsibility as an MC? Am I setting up all the teams? Am I introducing dogs? Am I actually doing play-by-play for the trailer pool itself?
Yeah, so you'll be introducing the teams, calling them up so they get stationed on the rope, get ready to pull. I have a bunch of whistles, so if you want a whistle, I can give you one of those, or I can help out. We have a microphone. We have a megaphone.
Dog whistle or human whistle?
Human whistle,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So everybody can hear it, I guess.
Yeah, and then you can give us the play-by-play, too.
All right.
Very nice.
And Annie's Day and Night, I had not heard of this bar before. It's on East Riverside, 7107 East Riverside. So it is literally right down the street from where Craig Fields are.
Yeah, it's brand new. It's a restored house that they've, you know, kind of turned into a bar. They have a really cute bar inside, craft cocktails. They have picnic tables outside. It's shaded. They have a bunch of food trucks. It's just a really good atmosphere, and it's kid and dog friendly. So, you know, everybody can come out. Even if you don't come to the first portion, you can still join us at the after party. It's free and open to everyone, and we'll just be hanging out and having fun for a few hours and raising money to help Emancipet.
And if you want to learn more about Emancipet and you want to help out but you can't make it this Sunday, you can go to emancipet.org to find out more, to donate. And this is an incredible cause. Sarah, thank you so much for everything that you do in this community, including this, and thank you for including me in this one as well.
I can't wait. I'm really excited. I hope you dress up in your Halloween costume.
Oh no, now the pressure's on. This is going to be two straight days I'm dressing up this weekend. I've got the volleyball event on Saturday that I'm having to dress up for now too.
Very cool. At some point I got a Yorkie I need you to read for me.
Oh, yeah.
What's going on with that little thing? My God. We got a couple things. Now, do you specialize in any kind of, like, if we ever had any behavioral issues, can you deal with those, or are you just trying to get to the mystical side of the dog?
Well, you know, I tell everyone it's for entertainment purposes only.
Okay.
But I do, you know, they end up asking me questions, and just as a you know, I'm not a vet or anything, but I am a dog owner, so if I have any tips, I'll share those.
Gotcha. Fair enough. All right, there you go. That is Sarah Wolf, and again, the Emancipet event, 11 to 1 on Sunday, emancipet.org for more info. And you guys will be doing the fundraising out there as well. People can donate if they show up.
Absolutely. They can donate, then get a bandana, then get some cool swag. We'll have lots of good ways to give back.
Yeah, lots of good stuff going on out there, including, did we mention good pop treats? I thought it said good poop the first time I read it. I was like, that's a weird name for dog treats.
Yeah, weird name. It's not the name for the dog treats that are going to be handing out.
Good pop treats.
And they're probably not going to be handing out the strawberry Pop-Tarts to the dogs either.
No.
As much as dogs may like those things.
That is not going to be a good idea either. Not at all. Thank you for coming in, Sarah.
Of course.
Thanks, Sarah.
So from hot sauce to dog tarot card reading, Sarah can do. I can't wait to see what the next one is. What is Sarah going to come in and talk about next time?
Well, so she suggested that we have somebody on to talk about the Chronicles beer episode. And I'm like, I would love to do that, but we're pure Coors Light guys here, so we can't go down that road necessarily.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That is true.
And then she also suggested there was a Halloween episode for the Chronicle last week. But it was, or 2 weeks ago, but it was Texas OU week. So it's like, yeah, I don't know if we have time on Texas OU week, the 1 week of the year where we have to stay very specific to football, right?
You know what? Maybe we'll get Doc Hastings to come in, hang out with her. They can talk beer. Nobody likes to talk beer more than my dad does.
That's
so
true.
So we'll just let them talk, and then it'll be good. You and I'll talk Coors Light. They'll talk about all the other beers, and then we'll roll on.
That's right.
That'll work. All right. So check out the Emancipet event this weekend. And again, emancipet.org. If you can't get out there or you just want to help out. If you're a pet owner and a pet lover like we are. All right, coming up, your 2 o'clock hour, our Supreme Picks. We'll see if we can do better than 2 and 3, which is what we did last week. 3 college games, 2 pro games coming right up on the Horn.